just want to read a word. I just want to quickly go into the word. It's not going to be a long thing, but I just want to start with a little teaching for us to understand. You know, every traditional church, we celebrate Good Friday, right? Yeah, it's called Good Friday. Nothing wrong with that. It's a Good Friday. Why not? It's not a bad Friday.
Every day is good.
Every day is good. But that's something that we have to look at from the scripture. Okay, Genesis chapter 1 verse 14. I just want to highlight two Hebrew words and then we'll quickly jump into what we want to look at tonight. First Hebrew word that I want to look at is M-O-E-D. Turn to your left and right, say Moed.
Moed.
What is Moed? Moed. Genesis chapter 1 verse 14. Then God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons and for days and years." Do you see the word season there?
Yes.
What is it for? It's for season. What is for season? The lights in the firmament of heaven. What are they? Includes your sun, moon, everything, right? So the sun, the moon in the heaven is for sign. You know what is a sign, right? Traffic sign? Traffic light is a sign, right? Ding, ding, ding. It's telling you a sign. And season. Everybody say season.
Season.
All have coffee. I don't get coffee. I'm just kidding. You can get your coffee at the back. Season is a Hebrew word, moed. Everyone say moed.
Moed.
It means season. Very deep, right? Moed means season, means appointment. Divine appointment. And if you study deeper, if you read, you don't have to study, you read the word of God. If you look at when God instituted the feast, there are seven feasts, the word feast is also moed. Interestingly, the word season and the word feast are the same in the Hebrew word. Moed or moedim are the same. Moed is season, is appointment, divine appointment. That is why in the seven feasts instituted by God, many people find during the feast there is an open heaven because God ordained that God ordained that He wants to encounter His people. That includes you and me. Amen. Amen. So there's the feast of God. Don't be mistaken, it is not the feast of the Jews. It became the feast of the Jews. Certain part of the Bible in the New Testament, it has been practiced by the Jewish people, then they call it the Feast of the Jews. But when you go back to the original, in the Old Testament, I'm going to read for you from Leviticus chapter 23. Leviticus 23, you have all the seven feasts there. So I'll just read verses 1, 2, and 4, okay? And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, the feast of the Lord." It is the God's feast. It is not Jewish feast. So we are not celebrating Jewish feast. We are celebrating feast of God, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocation. What is the word there for feast? Moed. These are my moed. My season, the time of my divine appointment with my people. These are the feasts of the Lord, holy convocation, verse 4, which you shall proclaim at their appointed times. If you read the whole chapter 23, at least 6 times God told Moses, "These shall be a statute forever in your generations." What does that mean? Oh, we celebrate Old Testament finished and in the New Testament don't have to celebrate. Is it true? No. Old Testament says it is something perpetual, forever. It is a feast that will be forever. And interestingly, out of the 7 feasts, 3 has been fulfilled. When Jesus came, Jesus was the fulfillment of the feast. Isn't that wonderful? So we're going to look at these two words very quickly. Moed, you know, so this is the time of open heaven. Expect God to meet with you, expect dreams, expect vision, expect God to come and visit you. And the second word I want to talk about is Nissan, not your Nissan car. Okay? Anybody drives Nissan car? Nissan car. This is the month of Nissan, okay, in the Hebrew calendar. It's the 7th month. Remember, last year we started, I think Brother Joseph would have remembered, last year we started this gathering on Passover. Alright, we talk about Kairos. We talk about how Passover changed the entire Hebraic calendar. Jewish people already has a calendar. When is their New Year? Rosh Hashanah. What month is that? Tishri, right? It's already there. But come Passover in Exodus, God say, now this shall be your New Year. So Jewish people celebrate two New Year. One, Rosh Hashanah. One is Passover. So you see, Passover is the very foundation of our relationship with God. Last year, we spoke about that. How it is the Kairos time when you are in the Passover. It is a reset. Suddenly, God say, now this is your New Year. So, and Nisan, interestingly, happened after winter. So it is the season of spring. Hallelujah. That's why Chinese also have some similarity. We celebrate New Year during spring, right? Right? That's why you see all the supermarket, they sell all the spring flower. Correct, not from China or whatever. Here we don't, but we take it in. So the Jewish people pass over on Nisan, spring. So this is the season where your winter will turn to spring. Say amen. Amen. What do you mean winter? When it is cold, when it is dark. Nisan comes spring. This is a month of flowers. Nisan means month of flowers. Flower begin to spring up. Amen. So there are three that have been fulfilled. Four have yet to be fulfilled. Okay? What are the three? Passover, unleavened bread, first fruit. If you are curious, there is no Good Friday. Okay? There's no Easter also. No Good Friday, no Easter. But we are believers of God's word. Amen. So this is the thing. Some people will argue until the cow comes back, and some people will argue until the face turns blue. But that is not what we want to do. We know the word says like that. If people want to celebrate Easter, will we go and kick them? No. It's not wrong. At least they go to church once a year. Am I right? Is they call Good Friday? But interestingly, in the recent years, Good Friday and Passover coincide. Actually, usually different date. Usually you have Good Friday, you have your Passover, but it coincide. And just now my daughter was so happy. She took a photo of, and then she sent to me. She sent to the chat group. The moon is yellow. Do you know? The Bible is so interesting. Three pilgrimage feasts. There are three feasts where all the males will go to Jerusalem. One, Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacles. These three feasts, the male will present themselves in Jerusalem. Wherever they are, they will go to Jerusalem. And these three feasts fall on full moon. So that is my answer to Marianne. Why is it yellow? Why is it full moon? Do you see Bible is so accurate? You only have Passover on full moon. And never run. And will not be wrong one. Every Passover is a full moon. Every Pentecost is a full moon. Every Tabernacles is a full moon.
Yeah,
is it?
Calendar is very close to our Chinese calendar.
Yes, they use lunar, I mean based on lunar calendar.
Short, normal.
Correct. Every year can be different. They can.
13 months.
Yes. Correct. So if you have not one seen, when you go back later, look at the moon, it's full. It's yellow, it's big, it's full. Interesting, right? It is in Genesis. What is in the sky is a sign, and a sign for a season, for a Moedim. What you see the moon is telling you there is a feast. There is an appointment between God and man. And Jesus came to fulfill Passover. Jesus came to fulfill the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Feast of First Fruit. No Easter. First Fruit is Easter. Resurrection is Easter. Okay? No Christmas. But is it wrong to celebrate Christmas? Why not? Exchange gift is a nice thing. Get all the non-Christians to come. Is it a sin? No lah. Don't have to be so religious. But the more we know about the Bible, the more we learn, the more we try to be, to follow and to be in line with the Bible. Amen. Yeah. We don't want to go to the extreme. You celebrate Easter, sure go to hell. Man. You celebrate Christmas some more, sure go to hell. Man. No need lah, no need to go to that. Understand? It doesn't say in the Bible, alright? Does it say in the Bible?
No.
Everybody happy. It's not to be happy, but this is the truth. It doesn't say that, okay? The fall feast, fall means autumn. Whether I say fall or autumn, it doesn't make sense to you and me. because we don't have all this. It's either hot, cold, or rain, right? Four feasts in Israel will be Feast of Trumpet, your Rosh Hashanah, Atonement, Yom Kippur, and Tabernacles, your Sukkot. Okay? I did not speak in tongues, but those are the Jewish terms. At least when you hear that, don't say, I'm speaking in tongues. Amen? So do you see the interesting thing? Moed and Nisan. Amen. Now let's look at it today. Today is the Feast of Passover. Let's look at Exodus chapter 12. I want to just emphasize on one particular theme which has been, which we have been developing as the Spirit led. Sister Joyce have not been with us. You can follow the last few messages in the YouTube. I do not know whether you all watch the YouTube or not. The YouTube is for all of us. You can subscribe the channel. When you subscribe the channel, automatically you will be notified of the new videos. Okay? I'm looking forward to add more content to our channel. So if you missed it, it's okay. But you will see how interesting God has been leading us. So Exodus chapter 12. Everybody has a Bible. Let's read from verse 1 to verse 13 very quickly together. Are you ready? 1 to 13, Exodus 12, whatever version, whatever language. Do you have it? If you have found it, say hallelujah. 1, 2, go. Now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, "This month shall be your beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th of this month, every man for himself lamb according to the house of his father, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of the persons, according to each man's need. You shall make your account for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. Now you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight, and they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the houses where they eat it." Hey, suddenly all died down, the voices. Verse 8, "Then they shall eat the flesh on that night, roasted in fire with unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Do not eat it raw, nor boil it all with water, but roasted in fire, its head with its legs and its entrails. You shall let none of it remain until morning, and what remains of it until morning you shall burn with fire. And thus you shall eat it with a belt on your waist, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. So you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night, and will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And where I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt." Now you understand what's Passover, right? Passover. God passed over. Didn't strike us dead. Didn't strike the Israelites dead. But correct or not? Who did God strike dead?
The
Egyptian firstborn. Firstborn. Not all the Egyptians didn't die. Including who? Huh? Oh, Pharaoh's son. Yeah. I didn't know it's your friend. Just how Joseph spoke, like from personal knowledge. Wow, not bad. Praise God. You know Pharaoh. So that's Passover. That's Passover. Do you know what's Passover? That's Passover. Very simple, right? But we have looked at it many times. There are many different themes we can learn from it. There are many, many, many lessons we can draw from it. But tonight, I want to focus on this. On the 10th of the month, every man shall take for himself, according to his house of the father, he must choose a lamb. On the 10th day, and then must keep it until the 14th day. Everybody say 10th day, and then 14th day. What happened to the lamb? You'll be thinking maybe they keep the lamb in a cage, like how my daughters keep the rabbit in a cage. You think have cage? Ah? They are all in Egypt. They are all captives, right? They are small houses, mud houses. They have to live with the lamb. How does lamb, what kind of sound lamb make? Yeah. Well, all. There's so many lambs. How? Meh, meh. Okay. I thought that's gold.
Has anybody seen a lamb?
Brother Albert say, has anyone seen a lamb before? I think most of us will say we have eaten lamb before.
I have not seen a lamb.
Anybody has seen a lamb? No, we have not. We have not seen a lamb.
No, lamb chop.
You have seen a lamb.
Overseas.
Have you seen a lamb before? Zoo. Lamb and sheep. What is the difference? Lamb is within a year, about 1 year old. Above 1 year old already. Sheep. Oh, now you know, huh? And lamb also means the meat, lah. You eat lamb chop and all that. Tomorrow, Brother Albert will post to us a photo of the lamb in our group chat. Okay, show us. Since you're the one.
But barbecue and roast, you know, do symbol.
We are all the lamb, right? You seen every day,
huh?
We are all the lamb, seen.
We are what?
We are all the lamb.
We are all the lamb.
Still a lamb, not a sheep yet.
We all like sheep have gone astray. So the 10th of the month, they have to live with a lamb in a, at home. Is it very convenient? Very nice? We won't know, right? Until you try it. So the fact is, brothers and sisters, they have to bring it in the house. They have to keep from 10 Nisan, the 10th day of the month, to 14 Nisan. The 14th day to inspect so that they get a lamb that is without blemish, without defect. That's the whole idea, right? So Jesus came as the Passover lamb. Jesus came to fulfill the Passover lamb, the feast of the Passover. In John chapter 12, you all remember the account when Jesus went into the city of Jerusalem? Jesus instructed the disciples, go and get the donkey. And then he went up the donkey, they put all the clothes. That's what the song we always sing. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna to the Son of David, right? Can you remember that? On the 10th of Nisan, they have to take a lamb into their house. On the 14th of Nisan, he will be sacrificed, he will be killed. Jesus came to Bethany, somewhere on a Saturday, and on the almost on the 10th of Nisan, he went into the city of Jerusalem riding on a donkey. John chapter 12, verses 12 to 15. The next day, a great multitude that had come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him and cried out, Hosanna, Hosanna. John chapter 12, verses 12 to 15. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel. Then Jesus, when he had found a young donkey, sat on it, as it is written, Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt. So Jesus fulfilled that prophecy. Amen. There was a prophecy that Jesus will sit on a donkey. But more than that, if you see, Jesus went to Jerusalem. God was saying, just like what you read in Exodus 12, God said, now the Lamb come into my house. Jerusalem is the house of God. The temple is in Jerusalem. Are you seeing the parallel? Bring in the Lamb into the house of God in Jerusalem. In Exodus, it says, you must choose a lamb on the 10th of Nisan and bring it in. Okay, lah, in churches now, you have Palm Sunday and all that. But we never think, we always have the Palm Sunday, right? Most churches will bring the palm and do the Palm Sunday. But have you ever thought, the important thing is not so much the Palm Sunday, but it's the inviting, choosing the lamb, taking the lamb into the house. Because God the Father also did the same thing in the New Testament. Jesus rode a donkey into Jerusalem. Jesus was the Passover lamb going into the house. what is the picture that is being drawn for us? My brother, my sister, that is why when you receive Jesus, we don't just say, I accept Jesus. But actually, you receive Jesus into your heart. The Lamb must come inside you. Amen. The Sunday school song, come into my heart, Lord Jesus, come in
today,
come in to stay, come in, Lord Jesus. The Lamb of God must come into our heart. We must receive Him in our hearts. Then you must be thinking, I'm already a Christian, 5 years, 10 years, 15 years. If you catch this truth, it will change you, because that is the key. Jesus coming into your heart. But your heart is like a house. Your life is like a house. Your life is like the city of Jerusalem. Jesus can just go one side, one section, one room of your house, but never enter the other rooms in your house. Never enter, never explore other part of your life. Jesus is in your heart, in my life, to perfect us, to transform us to His image. Amen. The more we open up, the more we receive Him. It is not automatic. You must follow. You know, for the past 2 weeks, you must follow what I've been saying. It is not automatic. You see, because of the comfort of this life, many of us don't even know we have this desire, this capacity for the spiritual things. But when something hit you, a tragedy hits you, a problem hits you, sickness, economics, or socially, or your finances, or something hit you, it is again not automatic that you will be awakened to your spiritual capacity. You may not necessarily enter in. Some people, they are still seeking for something that they do not know. I'm not going to say that again. Go back and listen to last week. But this is my observation. I know of a friend. I spoke to him. He got cancer at 19 years old. Now he's in his 30s and there's a relapse. So when he had cancer, it awakened him. He said, I pursue, what is there to pursue in this life? When you are hit with like a death sentence in your life. But he got healed. He got healed when he was 19. He was healed. Then he came back. And he told me he went astray again after he was healed. You see, sometimes things happen in our life to awaken us. To awaken us, hey, there is a Lamb in your home. Your life only has to do with this important thing. There is an interior life. Hallelujah. The mystics of old say, their interior life is like an interior castle. Inside his heart is like a castle. There are different sections. Mystical Christians, they experience how Jesus went into different parts of the hearts. It is not a Catholic theology. It is truth that we, the modern day Christianity, has forgotten that there is an interior life. If you do not learn to appreciate and learn to live and learn to grow from this interior life, you will always be wandering. You will always be looking for exterior things. I know of another person, probably in her 60s or in her 50s, also got cancer, healed, and recently also there is a relapse. No, now there are some other parts in the brain. Found there is a tumor. She was so scared of the prospect of death. Something is not right, right? How can you be a Christian for many, many years and you are still afraid? She can be very active in church, can be serving very actively. People know her, very active. She does a lot of things. People like her. She does a lot of many good things. My guess is she doesn't know there is an interior life. Jesus came to to tell us this truth. There is an interior life. That Jesus came and smashed the theology of the Pharisees. Pharisees is all about exterior. Do the right thing, serve God, do everything that is right externally. Right? But what did Jesus do? When he came in, he said, your motive is what is important. Your motivation. He comes to address what is inside you and inside me. Your interior life, your ministry, your life, your relationship, your exterior life, your social life, all flows from this interior life. How strong your interior life is who you are. Your real you has everything to do with this interior life. I don't care, many people can serve very well, very diligently, but come the crunch time, suddenly something hit them, they are all nowhere, they can't find where to put their feet. I'm not judging, okay? I'm just sharing with you my observation. And this is something that has become the curse of modern-day Christianity. Everybody forces you to do everything just outside. And do this, do this, do this. You will get blessed, blessed, blessed. But do you know about your interior life with Jesus? Do you know what it means? Has God dealt with your motive? Has God dealt with the demons inside you? The things that happen to you is for the demons to manifest. Why certain things come to you? Then you realize, hey, I got such a unforgiveness. Hey, I got such a bitterness. It has always been there. The demons have been there. But those things awaken it. Trigger it up. For what? Not to condemn you so that you can deal with it. You can bring the lamb to that section. You can bring the lamb. You can bring Jesus to there to address the anger, to address the bitterness. Are you catching me? Amen. Because remember, once again, how did the people welcome him? Hosanna! To the? To who? King of Israel. He comes in to be the king. He may come in as a lamb, but his ultimate purpose, he comes into your life, my life, is to be king. Brother Alex, you can help Sister Cindy. Is it okay? You're right. Okay. Huh? You leave your hands if you need something. Okay. Enters and to be welcomed as king. Amen. Hallelujah. Come back here. Hallelujah. And just now you sang a song very interestingly. Worthy is the Lamb seated on the throne. Revelation chapter 5. Will you be shocked one day? Look at me. You go to a palace, to a throne. You see all the big size, giant size people. Sitting on the throne is a lamb. Has it ever occurred to you, the one sitting on the throne should be a lion, wa? Correct or not? King, who should be sitting on the throne, should be a lion. In fact, in Revelation chapter 5, John saw four living creatures, all the elders there. Elders would be huge people, living creatures would be mighty creatures. What John saw on the throne, near the throne, it's a lamb. It's a lamb. Hello? It's a lamb. The king in your heart is also a lamb. He comes in to be king. He comes in to be king and also a lamb. Listen to me carefully. He is also shaping you and me to have the lamb nature. This is the secret of the kingdom of God. We would think that it is the lion who has authority. Who sits on the throne has authority. Only those who has the lamb nature has authority. Oh, I must fight this. I must insist on this. I must do that. Jesus has a lot of work to do in your heart to polish you to have that lamb nature. It is the lamb that is sitting on the throne. It is the lamb that has authority. God wants to give the end time generation authority. Authority against weather. Authority against things that come. But he doesn't give to anyone. He gives to those whom he has formed a lamb nature. Lamb. Lamb. Do you want to know about lamb? Last time my wife and myself, we went to a Christmas service. A Bahasa Christmas service. Very interesting. The Indonesian pastor said, Domba. Domba, right? Domba adalah hewan yang bodoh. Katanya, dia bilang sangat bodoh. Dia jalan-jalan-jalan terus terjun. Ya kan? Semua orang, sorry, sudah salah. Everybody thinks they are stupid. And we came back and say, why say like that? Because Jesus is also the lamb. But actually, that's the truth, you know. Sheep are very stupid, though. I read one article, sheep has three D's. D. Dumb. Dumb, not dumb, dumb, dumb. Dumb, directionless, defenseless. When the shepherd went and had breakfast, one interesting sheep walk, jump down the cliff. Oh, jump into the cliff. It's a true fact, it's a news. And the farmer lost $70,000+. Because he was having breakfast. So one sheep, follow. But it is the lamb that will have authority. It is the lamb that is sitting on the throne. Not dumb, dependent.
We are only asked to be a lamb, but
dependent.
We are the shepherd.
Yes, dependent. Yeah. Not dumb, dependent. The lamb needs the shepherd very much. The shepherd go and eat breakfast, gone case. Not dumb, dependent. Jesus, come into your heart. Why so many things out of control? Oh, I cannot do this. Hey, why this is beyond me? So that you can be dependent on Him. Hey, this is beyond me, lah. I cannot do this. This business problem, I cannot handle this. This is not something I know. I never expect this to happen. You have a shepherd, not a Google. You have a shepherd, not a pastor. You have a shepherd. His name is Jesus. When you and I learn to be dependent, He is molding the lamb nature in you. We are all very independent. I want to do it my way. I insist on my way. You and I are still far from being a lamb. We are directionless. We always wonder. The moment we lose sight of Jesus, we wander around. Fall into all kinds of trap, temptation, and traps. We need a shepherd to show us our direction. The moment we keep our eyes away from Jesus, we lose all our direction. We are defenseless. Jesus is our defense. When the animals come, sheep cannot do anything. They cannot turn like, show a bit of muscle. Cannot. They just, eaten. It's an interesting nature. Jesus was the lamb. And Jesus wants to make you and make me the lamb. Because we have invited Him in. Now, you and I must know this interior life. That Jesus begins to work in you daily. Through the things you encounter. Through the events you face. The circumstances, the people you face. Amen. Amen. Now no more amen. 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 He is shaping the lamb nature within all of us. Yes, He is the Lion of Judah and He's the Lamb. But when He talks about on the throne, it's always the Lamb. Do you want authority? Get it when you have the lamb nature inside you. Amen. Go back to what I say, Song of Solomon. We didn't finish Song of Solomon yet. We are just looking at other themes. Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 4. Another very powerful principle. Draw me away. We will run after you. We've read that before, right? But I didn't take the time to explain. How can it be that we talk, the Shulamite talk to the one she loves. Draw me away. Then suddenly, we will run after you. This is the secret, my friends. In the spiritual matters in your life, everything has to be we. You call out, draw me away. But when you do it, when you go everywhere, you go with Jesus. That's the reason it's a Passover. You invited the Lamb in. Draw me away, but draw me. But we will run after you. Everything you do, it is a we. The moment it is an I, you will miss it. We will not be able to achieve it. Draw me unto you, but we will run after you. Who is the we? You and the Lamb. You want to go to God? That's what Jesus said. No one can go to the Father except through me. Draw me, but we will run after you. That is the reason that Jesus must release the Holy Spirit. It is the Spirit of Christ. Everything you and I do, this is not just paying lip service. Don't just say, I need the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, I cannot do anything. It is not lip service. It is true. Draw me, but we will run after you. You pray. But when the moment you get out of a prayer, the moment you do things, it has to be always we, you and Christ. The beauty of the union between you and Jesus. And this speaks of your interior life. If you do not know what it means to abide in Him, how do you know you are going with a we or going with a me? If you do not know God abiding in you, if you do not know your spirit, if you do not know what is peace inside you, love inside you, how can you tell whether it's a we and a me? So many times, people take principles, formulas, and do it. And when they don't see result, they say they give up. Because many spiritual principles have to come from the interior life. Have to come from the we. Some people may be telling you, if you declare this, some things will happen, right? Many people begin to declare, until their face turns blue, nothing happens. Why? Because you never do it from your interior life. You are just following, you're copying a formula, a principle, hoping that it will work in your life. It doesn't work that way. You have an interior life. Out of that interior life, out of your life with Jesus, Jesus speak a word. He said, declare this. Just one word. Just declare this. You declare that, your face won't turn blue. Things will happen very fast. Based on that interior life. But how do you find the interior life? Oh, you must first learn to be still. Oh, you must first learn to be able to focus on Jesus. Oh, you must first be able to find shalom. If you sit down and 101 things come to your mind, you haven't learned to build your interior lives. Last night, I woke up to pray. I spent more than an hour sitting there just to be still, just to wait for my spirit to be still and focus on God. I was like, just waiting there, waiting for my heart to be in tune with His frequency. I just sat there with that's how I wait on God. I must have music. Just sat there and waited more than an hour. I couldn't get it. I couldn't be still. Things will come. I have to be still. And finally, when I'm a little bit still, God in His great mercies, I receive a vision. I access the spiritual realm. Later, I will go into that. So draw me away. We will run after you. In every spiritual matters, it has to be we will run. Cannot be me. Amen. That's the dependence of again, I'm saying it is the dependence that God is building inside us. If you say you don't know, that's a good answer. If anytime people ask you something, I don't know. True, okay, you don't know. True, it's good. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. Really, I don't know what to do. Good, God can do something. If you have 101 ways, God wait. God, the angels also wait. 99, 98, 97. Try them. The angels, I wait so long. 30. Try 29 times already. 28. 15. Finally, you say, well, you knock your head. Try. And then I say, God, I surrender. The angels woke up. Ha! I can do something. Amen. So how many times do you want to try? Up to you. Amen. Oh, you can still... You want to worry, you can think many things. Maybe this it will work out this way, maybe if I do this, then the angels will be. Go on. The angels learn a lot from us also. Very stupid. Like us, we laugh at dumb sheep, right? Maybe the angels say, Going back to the last 2 weeks, what we did. Remember we look at the Samaritan woman? What did Jesus say? John chapter 4. John chapter 4 verses 13 and 14. Jesus answered and said to her, "Whoever drinks of the water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst." That is really a mystery. How is it possible? Do you all still drink water or not?
Different kind of thirst.
Oh, we're very smart. Continue on. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain. A fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. Look at me. If you keep drinking, it becomes inside you. Jesus is again, Jesus is talking about your interior reality that you should have. It becomes a fountain inside you. Jesus is very interested to do things inside of you. Not to depend on outside things. You can finally have it inside you. Jesus is here, the woman is here. If you drink that fountain in me, Jesus is saying, I'm the well, right? Will go inside you. You will have a fountain inside you. Do you see that? You can drink from that well. It has to be like that. You and I must be able to drink, have that fountain, drink from that fountain, Jesus who is in you, the hope of glory. The interior life is far more important, far more superior than our external lives. You want to know why? It is through your internal life. It is through your interior life you access the spiritual realm. It is never from the outside. It is never from the outside. I know many times we do like that, hoping from the outside, but it is always from the inside. That which is unseen is eternal. That which can be seen is temporal. Yes, that is talking about the spiritual realm. That is talking about spiritual reality. But it is accessed when you have an interior life. The importance of growing, developing your spiritual interior life is for you to be able to easily access, connect, commune, interact, be in union with God in the spirit realm. Are you catching me? 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verses 16 to 18. When you read this, now it gives you a different shade of meaning. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verses 16 to 18. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing. That's your outward life. Your outward life, many things can happen to you. Your outward life may have a lot of problems, may encounter difficulties, struggles, trials. Yet, if you know there is an interior life, if you have been building that interior life, your inward man will then be made new day by day. Outside things can get worse and worse, but if you are aware of that interior reality, that your inward man is your true you, your inward and innermost being is your true self, and you begin to develop the interior life, that man will be renewed day by day. Verse 17, for our light affliction, what you experience outside you is for a moment. The whole idea is to awaken what is inside you. It is for a moment, is working for us far more exceeding an eternal weight of glory. Where is that weight of glory? It is inside you. You have to be awakened of your innermost capacity, your innermost desire, what is truly who you are. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. If you've spent 80% of your life, your attention span, your strength, your energy on what can be seen, they are all temporal, gone. Your exterior life. If you spend 80-90% of your attention, energy on what can be seen, it is temporal, gone. But if you spend 80-90% to take care of your inward life, of your hidden life, of your true inner man, every day it becomes brighter and brighter, releasing more and more glory, becoming more and more like a lamb, becoming more and more like Jesus. And I'm going to go against what the popular teaching tells you. It doesn't mean your problem would have solved. It doesn't mean that you have no problem. It doesn't mean that you will be very rich. It doesn't mean that everything will go very smooth. I say it doesn't mean. When you can come to this realization, you would have begun to appreciate your inward life. Most people will still want, no, I want the answer to this. I want the answer. God will. God's heart is love. He will heal us. He will set us free. He will answer our prayer. But there are seasons in our life. God awakens your true self inside you. When everything does not matter, God wants you to know. God gives the grace for you to be awakened. You capture that Kairos moment. You are awakened. Even if God answers, God doesn't answer, you don't mind. You are ready for His answer. When He comes, it doesn't even surprise you, bother you or whatever. You are so concerned about the inward man that is renewed every day. Are you catching what I'm saying? Are you catching what I'm saying? You have to be careful. I'm not saying God will not answer, God will not bless. No. No. But when you have, this is a work of grace, you know. Not a work of ourselves, you know. We ourselves cannot be awakened to this truth. We ourselves cannot be awakened to this realization of how important our inward man is renewed. We will never come to this one. All we know is go and chase everything exterior. Chase money, chase pleasure, chase happiness. And this is all we do. And it is not wrong. But the more we do that, we are numbing, we are masking what is in the true person inside us. And our spirit remains just like that. And come the end of age, when our physical shell is removed, everyone doesn't have a physical shell already. You and I see our true selves. Huh? Pastor, it's like that, so small only the spirit. Huh? Wow, this person serves so well. Huh? His spirit is just like that only. Wow, that person didn't do a lot of things every day, wash the church one. Never complain, never anything one. Full of the glory, inward man renewed, ready for further work in the next age, the kingdom of God. What was she doing? She was very positive. People throw things. She washed the toilet without complaining. She does everything without complaining. At first complainer. But she allowed the land nature to be brought forth. She allowed it. Things keep coming. Then she stopped. She wondered. She got awakened. She cooperated. She captured the grace of God that was at work in her life. Then she didn't care anymore. She got the breakthrough. Whether people throw 10 rubbish on the floor or people throw 20 or whatever, it didn't bother her anymore. A far greater reality inside her has captivated her than the reality of the exterior world. This has to happen in our lives. When what is inside, what is more real, what is more precious, what is more superior, what is more glorious, has captivated your attention far against everything this world can give you, far against every legitimate need of the physical and your soulish need. The grace of you are a recipient of God's grace, not in vain. You're on the right path. God keeps on working again and again. We don't get it, it comes again, again. It is His grace. He didn't want to destroy us. He didn't want to harm us. He wants to awaken you. When you finally found out, hey, inside is more superior, more real. What if I die today and inside me I have nothing one? How are you going to... Will you regret? If you and I die today, you find out you don't have an inner inside life. And everything is outside only. Is it worth living? All the things that you have gone through. So this is how we learn to see from a different perspective. What if it is the grace of God that has been working on you all this while to allow those things to happen? Not to harm you, not to destroy you, to awaken. Hey, why is it again and again? What is God doing? What is God dealing in my heart? What is God dealing in my heart? Is God making me more like the lamb? What nature is he doing inside me? What is he inspecting inside me? Is it the pride in me? If there's a lot of pride, it's not a lamb, you know. It's not a lamb. Amen. Amen. We receive the lamb on the 10th of Nisan. We keep opening our heart. We keep opening our lives to the lamb. Let him continue to do a work, a deeper work, a deeper work, a deeper work. And finally we realize, internal is eternal. Internal is after all eternal. When you have that inside life, you can access the eternal realm. Then you realize. I asked my wife to read. You know, she read a quote that day. That is very powerful. But listen to the quote. What is the quote? C.S. Lewis. What did C.S. Lewis say? Have you found it? Do you have it? Okay, I read for you. You know C.S. Lewis is an author, right?
If I find in myself desires which nothing in this world can satisfy, the only logical explanation is that I was made for another world.
You get that? If I find in myself desires which nothing in this world can satisfy, the only logical explanation is that I was made for another world. I was made for another world. I was not made for this world. This world doesn't give me the satisfaction. I keep hungering and hungering. But the one that Jesus promised is, once you drink, it becomes inside you. I'm made for that world, the inside world. From that inside world, I can access the unlimited world. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When you have learned to access the unlimited world, you are not bothered by any cares. There will still be cares. You are not troubled at all. That is Jesus. That is the Lamb. That is the life you and I are called to be. You are not bothered anymore. So that is why in the end times, when persecution comes, when tribulation comes, you and I are unshaken. Unshakable. Now is your training, my training. Count it the grace of God. Hallelujah. Do you see that or not? You're not bothered anymore. Because there's such a reality. Why people can get cut and that he was living in that secret place reality. It doesn't bother him. Oh, you, I cannot laugh. What if that one day, you know, somebody will come and shoot my daughter? Of course you cannot, your flesh cannot. But if you are living in that realm, you will just say to your daughter, see you in the realm. See you in heaven. It should be, right? If not, I'm just telling myself, I'm just fooling myself. If I say it's true, and then when it happens, I'm scared. Is it true? Is it true? It has to be true in your life, in my life. So yo, suddenly I see all your life so scared. All your faces like, no, this is not what I signed up for. That's right, too late. You're on this planet Earth too late. You and I have agreed to come. Hallelujah. Amen. You and I are called to be more than what you and I are now. You raise me up so I can stand on mountains. You raise me up so I can walk on stormy seas. Then? Huh? I am strong when I am on your shoulder. You see, the Lamb has to always depend on him. You raise me up to more than I can be. That's your destiny, that's my destiny. You raise me up so I can stand on mountains. You raise me up so I can walk on stormy seas. I am strong when I am on your shoulders. You raise me up to more than I can be. That's your destiny. That's your destiny. You raise me up so I can stand on mountains. You raise me up to walk on stormy seas. And I am strong, and I am on your shoulders. You raise me up to more than I can be. Hallelujah. Shall we stand? You raise me up so I can stand on mountains. You raise me up so I can walk on stormy seas. I am strong and I am on your shoulders. Raise me up to more than I can be. One more time. The you raise me up is Jesus. You raise me up so I can stand on mountains. You raise me up to walk on stormy seas. I am strong and I am on your shoulders. You raise me up to more than I can. raise me up so I can stand on mountains. You raise me up to walk on stormy seas. I am strong when I am on your shoulders. You raise me up to more than I can be. Why is it more than you and I can be? Because you and I are subject to the curse of sin and death. You and I are destined to die because of our sin. We are born with sin, we are born without any hope. You and I, without God, will end up in hell and will end up dying without any hope. So let's close our eyes. Let's look to Jesus, our Passover lamb tonight. Hallelujah. Father, we come to you tonight. We acknowledge you are our Passover lamb. You are the lamb that was slain for each one of us so that we can be more than what we are destined to be, Lord. God, we thank you tonight. You speak to us through your word. That you are inside us. That is why in the epistle we read, Christ in us, the hope of glory. The Lamb of God is inside us. How much we open up ourselves to you, the more you can work inside us. The more you can fill us. The more you can mold the nature of the Lamb in us, oh God. All this while we can only see the hands of the devil. We only see the hands of the enemy. We say, oh, this is the attack of the enemy. Oh, this is something bad happening to me. We never realize it is the grace of God who has been working in us all along to awaken us to our true spirits. To awaken us to know we belong to another world. We belong to the world where Jesus came from. We belong to the kingdom of God. This world is not our home. This world is not our home. My brother, my sister, this world is not your home, it's not my home. We are passing by. We are being placed here to allow the Holy Spirit to shape us to become like the Lamb. Through all the circumstances, through all the people that God sends our ways in our lives, not to destroy us. Yes, our outward life is wasting away. Things may become worse. Suddenly, some things may happen in your life, in my life. But you and I have the hope that our inner man continues to be renewed day by day. When you and I are awakened to the truth that Jesus is inside you and your inner life is far greater, far superior than your exterior life. Into my heart, come into my heart, Lord Jesus, come into stay, come into stay, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Sing again. Into my heart, come into my heart, come into my heart, Lord Jesus, come into day, come in. Sing it again. Into my into my heart. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today. Come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Tonight we're going to ask Jesus. We're going to welcome Jesus into every part of our hearts. There are parts in our hearts. There are things that we have been carrying ourselves. There's been worries. There's been many things inside us. Tonight we're going to ask Jesus to come in. We do this as we take communion together. So as Brother Alex shares the bread and the wine, just take it into your hands. Thank you. Everyone, just take bread and a cup of the wine. Into my heart. Into my heart. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today. Come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Sing it again. Into my heart. Into my heart. Come into my heart. Come in today. Come in to stay. Come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. You sing this to Jesus, not just as a song. I want you to just imagine Jesus in a room. You're telling him, come in. Come in. You're telling him, I welcome you. I want you into my heart. As we sing it again, close your eyes. Look at Jesus and say, Jesus, come in. Come in. Come in.
Into my heart.
Shikarabaka sorobo.
Into my heart.
Shikereberia norobo shana. Korobo shikarabaka shana.
Lord Jesus,
come Holy Spirit,
come in,
come Holy Spirit, come Holy Spirit,
come in to stay,
come Holy Spirit, come Holy Spirit,
my heart, Lord Jesus,
sing from your heart again,
into my heart.
Come, Holy Spirit, now. Come, we call upon you.
To my heart.
Come, Holy Spirit.
Into my heart.
We cannot do it ourselves, Lord
Jesus.
We need you, Lord. We need you, Holy Spirit. Lord, we are your lamb. We are your sheep, Lord.
Come in.
Come and help us, oh God. We need you, Lord.
Lord Jesus,
call out to him
into my heart.
Come on, pour out your needs to him now. Come, Lord, we need you, Lord. Call out to him.
Come,
Jesus, I need you. Jesus, we need you. If you don't come, we cannot run after you. The Holy Spirit to come. You depend on him. Come,
Santa, Proclamo Santa. Yes, He is drawing near to you, everyone, personally. As you approach Him, He is coming to you. Everyone, listen to me tonight. God wants to encounter you. Come to Him. Yes, cast your burden, cast your care, your worries upon Him. You cannot, the truth is, we cannot. We are dumb sheep. The faster we see our true nature, the faster we run to Him. Call out to Him, Jesus, Jesus, Lord, we need You to my, Lord, we need You, Lord, this group of sheep need You, oh Lord, come Holy Spirit, come Holy Spirit, come in. Pour out your heart into my heart, into my, pour out your heart before Him, into my heart, Lord Jesus. You don't have to sing, come in.